Welcome to week two of the summer term, summer one term. Today on the Battling Pickle podcast, we are talking about reinforcement and punishment. So, as mentioned, our topic is one that is, at a glance, hard to see the application for both of the classes I'm teaching, but when you dig deeper, you realize that there's a lot of reinforcement and punishment in both the psychology of human sexuality and in educational psychology. So this week, the Ed Psych courses have a couple of prompts that really factor into learning and what is learning. So they have a prompt where it is, you know, how do you think your internal biases affect your teaching? That speaks to your own learning and how you learned information and how it then filters through your own thoughts on things and what you recall and all those your learned experiences. We have two questions that are directly applicable. What does learning look like for you? And what are classroom applications of reinforcers, punishers, and consequences? Over in Psychology of Human Sexuality, this is the week where we start looking at some broader topics in sexuality and in socialization. So things like dating and attraction and the biochemistry of love, sexual response cycle, those have a lot to do with reinforcement and punishment when things are not reinforced and things are actively discouraged. You know, one bad relationship can really affect someone for the rest of their life. So definitely there's some application there. And they have a couple of prompts that I think are important to this topic as well, one of which being, what are the sexual scripts that you perceive there to be for men and women? Those sexual scripts come purely through normally incidental learning. Yes, occasionally you'll have someone talk about the birds and the bees and say, you know, this is the way it is or that is the way it is. But most of that stuff we pick up as we are going. So right off the bat, whenever I talk about reinforcement and punishment, I have to make sure everyone's on the same page when it comes to definitions. Negative reinforcement is not punishment. I'll repeat that. Negative reinforcement is not punishment. We have a problem where often we use the terms positive and negative to mean good and bad. And while that is true in some situations, psychologically and scientifically, positive refers to adding something to an environment and negative refers to taking something away. So an example of negative reinforcement is taking away something that will cause the behavior to happen again or will make the behavior more likely to happen again. Classic example, your child does the dishes and you take away some other chore that they would have to do. Oh, you did the dishes. I want to reinforce that you did those willingly without me having to ask. So tonight, you don't have your normal bedtime. You can stay up late or something like that. You're removing something from the environment that normally would have been there. Negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement, no matter what you're doing, your goal is to make the behavior happen again. Punishment is anything that causes the behavior to be less likely to happen again, or something that will stop the behavior. So paradoxically, spanking or corporal punishment is positive punishment. You are adding something into the environment that you are hoping will make the behavior not happen again. Positive adding punishment, don't make the behavior happen again. So reinforcement and punishment, we have to be very clear on the definitions of positive and negative, because it's something that I've already seen in at least one of the classes, someone using negative reinforcement when they actually mean positive punishment or just punishment in general. Second thought that has come to mind a lot as I've been reading some of the prompts of people who are working ahead is that reinforcement is more effective than punishment. This flies in the face of some people's built-in biases. There are some people, I have a friend who, for example, before she had children, we had a conversation about corporal punishment, and her immortal words, that I'll never forget was she looked at my wife and I and said, well, you know, sometimes you just have to hit them. And we said, what? Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's the only way kids learn. You just got to hit them. Ironically, her child, who is now in second grade, when he was first getting into schooling, we had another conversation with her, and she was very frustrated, and she said, I don't know why he keeps hitting kids. He keeps hitting them on the playground, and we tell him you can't hit kids, and he just does it anyway, and it's a big problem, and I've been called into the principal's office, and you're just thinking, okay, I don't know what to tell you. This is modeling and social learning and incidental learning, and that's more powerful than reinforcement or than punishment. So, why is reinforcement more powerful than punishment? Well, it's because reinforcement has a few things going for it that punishment does not. Punishment, or the other way to look at that, is punishment has some problems that reinforcement does not. The first is punishment can be cheated. It can be avoided. I've had a few people on the bullying prompt in EPY 601 talk about, well, I have a zero tolerance policy toward bullying. I love the idea of having a zero tolerance policy toward bullying, but the practical person in me says that that is completely impossible because zero tolerance is always impossible. There is never a time when you can catch everything. So by definition, zero tolerance implies a perfect world that doesn't exist. So that means that you're telling your students, I have zero tolerance for this, unless you can sneak it away, you know, sneak it behind my back. Then I have tolerance for it because I didn't know it happened. And kids learn that. And so just like you speed on roads where you know there are never police waiting for you, you learn as a child, I can get away with this. In relationships, you learn what you can get away with, so much to the point that we have the term cheating to refer to sexual infidelity, because people know if I can get away with it, not a big deal. Meanwhile, nobody ever tries to cheat reinforcement. Reinforcement, you know, we get mad if we don't get reinforced. We go out of our way to get people to reinforce us. You know, if your teacher is putting stickers on papers and you don't get a sticker because they ran out of stickers and your last name was a W, this happened to me from personal experience, you will feel a little twinge of, huh, wish I'd gotten a sticker. So we like reinforcement. And we will go out of our way to remind people to reinforce us. But punishment, we'll try to avoid. Second issue that's related is that there's this problem of concurrent reinforcement. And that is when you are punishing a behavior, but the behavior or the punishment is actually in some way reinforcing. Classic example here is the child acting up in the grocery store, knowing that the parent will not take them out of the grocery store. And every time that the parent turns their attention to the child to yell at them to be quiet, they get the parents' attention, and that's what they really wanted. They didn't want, you know, anything more than just pay attention to me. And so if I have to yell at you, I have to pay attention to you. That means that the punishment, me yelling at you, is concurrently reinforcing what you really wanted, getting my attention. There is no such thing as concurrent punishment. The worst thing that I've come up with is if you get a promotion at work and they don't give you too much more money, but they give you more work, then maybe that's concurrently punishing something that you thought was going to be reinforcing. But in general, there's no problem of concurrent punishment, where there is a big problem of concurrent reinforcement. You see that in relationships. You see people who will say something just to get a rise out of their partner, you know, under the guise of, well, I'm just teasing you or this and that, just because they want their partner's attention. You're not paying attention to me, so I'll come over and I'll say something borderline cruel to you because that'll get your attention and you'll pay attention to me. So, two problems for punishment off the bat. One, it can be cheated. Two, there's concurrent reinforcement. Three, another problem with punishment is simply that it has to be severe. You know, if you think about going back to the speeding example, if you knew that every time you got a speeding ticket, it was $5 was the fine and that was it, you'd speed all the time. Who cares? $5, no big deal. Speeding has to be meaningfully painful for you to change your behavior. Same thing with in a classroom environment or in a relationship. If the behavior that you are punishing, you don't come down like a ton of bricks the first time and make it a meaningful punishment, then it will just build up a tolerance. Oh, you know, they're yelling at me again. No big deal. I think the best example of this is with corporal punishment. When you talk to people who are advocates for it, and you say, well, you know, when your child misbehaves or, you know, whoever misbehaves, and you punish them by hitting them, and make no mistake, spanking is hitting, so I'm just going to say hitting because that's the easier term to use. When you say I'm going to punish them by hitting them, do you start off as hard as you can? And people go, no. You start off, you know, not at full force, and then, you know, you only really wail away at the person if it keeps happening. Well, that builds up a tolerance. That builds up endurance. It's just like when I go out for a run, I don't start training for a 5K with, you know, I'm going to push myself as hard and as, you know, bad as I can. I start off slowly and gradually and build up endurance over a number of weeks so that the runs get easier and easier. Same thing with punishment. If punishment starts off very small and light, whether it be physical or psychological, by the time you get to abuse in a relationship, for example, it's ramped itself up slowly, slowly, slowly. Whereas, you know, when you talk to people and you say, well, if your partner had done that 5 years ago, what would you have done? Oh, I would have left them. Well, why didn't you leave them? Well, because, you know, they aren't usually that bad. Well, what they're remembering is that previously they weren't. So reinforcement is a more powerful tool, and it can be a trickier tool to use. It doesn't have these problems of cheating, concurrent reinforcement, and severity, but it does have a lot of nuance to it. And reinforcing the positive behaviors is a job that takes as much effort as trying to enforce a zero tolerance policy on negative behaviors. You have to make sure that you are reliably reinforcing. If you want to, you know, if you want your partner to respond to you in a relationship in a positive way, you can't decide that when work gets heavy, I'm just going to put my partner on the back burner, and hopefully in a week or two when work lightens up a little bit, they'll still be there and they won't be mad at me for neglecting them for a week. In a classroom environment, you can't say, well, I'm just going to tell the kids this week I don't have enough of the stickers, so we're not going to do stickers anymore. It's going to be a problem. People get used to being reinforced. They enjoy being reinforced. They will persist in the behaviors you want if you reinforce them. But when you don't, you run in the risk of having some of the same problems that you had with punishment. So that was my kind of topic of reinforcement punishment. I have another podcast episode that I did a couple of years ago that's on reinforcement and punishment. If you look in the back catalog of Battling Pickle, it's the same basic information I just gave you, but maybe a little bit more nuanced in there. I just wanted to kind of refresh it because it came up quite a bit in the prompts. And I also want to always make sure that we're clear that negative reinforcement is not punishment. Negative reinforcement is taking something out of the environment that will cause the behavior to happen again. This has been another episode of the Battling Pickle Podcast. I plan on having a couple more of these this week, and then next week we might go into the back catalog a little bit. I wanted to remind everyone that if you're interested in meeting up in person in a couple of days, Wednesday, May 31st at 2:30 in the afternoon, I'll be at Zoe Coffee in downtown Cleveland. If you just want to stop by, I'll be there from 2:30 to 3:30. You can grab a drink and we can just chat about anything. You can talk about term paper, you talk about class, talk about whatever you want. It's open to students in both of my classes. I think one of the other psych professors might come by and invite students from her classes. So purely just a stop by coffee conversation sort of meetup if you're interested. Otherwise, have a great week and enjoy your day.